adopt a resolution.
Jeremy, yep. Hold it just a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
I've got to start my recording. Sorry. I didn't know we were ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. You the chair usually has a little announcement, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we did meet in executive session. We did give some direction. We listened to some hydrosite analysis stuff. We discussed the potential interconnection. We took no action. We discussed project estimation and proposal. We took no action. And then we discussed employee performance as the next item. And then we had evaluation of the agency employees. And so with that, I believe, Trey, you have a recommendation for us?
A little bit later, I think during the budget process.
Oh, that's where it'll come about. Okay. So we did have lengthy discussions in regards to both those items and in regards to the CEO evaluations. So with that, we move into B. And of course, the compensation issues we'll speak about in the budget. And then we have a resolution that Jeremy, you have a motion
for. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Based off of the evaluation of agency employees, I would move at this time to adopt resolution 2021-083, adopting a policy regarding the CEO evaluation process, an evaluation form attached to the resolution.
Do we have a second?
Second.
It is moving second. And again, I'd like to thank all the board members for their prompt response and working with those forms in order to get us to this point. So is there any other comments by board members in regards to the forms and process?
A brief comment, yes. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
We'd like to thank the previous chair, Mr. Lynn, and yourself for working through developing a process that's clear and concise. It's been very helpful to us as board members to go through the evaluation process. I think this resolution will also create an environment of allowing new board members to understand the process clearly and give them a good guidance. So I appreciate all the hard work that you guys have done on this. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Joel for his participation and guidance in putting this together. So I appreciate his counsel on that also. So thank you, Joel.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else? Hearing, seeing none. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Will Severson?
Yes.
Skillings?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so that should move us on to item H, the presentation and consideration and approval of the FY 2022 SEPA budget. And we got that in a separate memo. Did we have a motion?
Yes, it's on page 3 of the budget, the draft budget that was emailed to you. And Robert, you may have that to put up on the screen. Thank you.
Do I have a motion? It's up on the screen there, guys, if anybody wants to take it.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Southeast Alaska Power Agency budget for fiscal year 2022, comprised of one, the 2022 revenue budget of $12,368,003, two, and the 2022 operating expense budget of $7,608,630, three, and the 2022 non-operating revenue budget of $825,665, four, and the 2022 non-operating expense liabilities and feasibility budget of $5,575,543, which include debt service and a levelized contribution to the R&R fund reserves of $3 million, and five, and approved projects in the 2022 renewal and replacement capital budget of $4,266,283 as presented at the December 10th, 2021 SEPA board meeting.
Second, Bynum.
It has been moved and seconded, so it's on the table. So, Trey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so I'll start off here on page four. And this is just a summary overview of the budgets described. Revenue, sales, operations, maintenance, non-operating income, non-operating expense, deposit to the reserves, and non-operational net gain. So in short, if you toggle that down just a little bit, you can see that we're proposing a budget that's essentially a balanced budget. And you know, we took a really hard look at the budget and expenditures and have shaved off a bunch of areas and have really focused on essentials. And I think you'll see that reflected throughout the budget. I'll also note that the budget as presented is based on a 0.25 cent increase to the wholesale power rate beginning on January 1. And we talked about that quite a bit over the last couple of years. And I think we'll discuss that in a little bit greater detail as the last item after the budget. So moving along, we, as always, included within the budget, we provide a projection on operating revenue. And we put a forecast together. And I'll note there, if you look, you got the basic table with the months and you have the firm sales. And then we've also added in displaced sales right into the budget. And this is an estimate based off of what we anticipate. And so it's all there, I think, integrated into the budget now. And there's a couple of footnotes and such down to the bottom as well for folks to understand that and bounce around to the various footnotes. So hopefully that's helpful now and is a little bit more integrated into the budget and the final numbers and all that. And are there any questions there? You can see, what it looks like with the 0.25 cent increase, essentially based on last year's power sales at 6.8 cents.
Okay.
Yep. Any, no questions there? Moving on. We do on page seven, I'll draw your attention to that next. We've already looked at the kilowatt sales item. This is just a quick snapshot look at each of the FERC codes. And as I typically do, I will go through each FERC code. And this year we tried to present it in a little way. Usually I do it a detailed sectional analysis per FERC code in my cover letter. And this year we went ahead and put it into a spreadsheet. And then we were able to put the comments in the spreadsheet and then tie that directly to the budget, so we didn't have to change it in multiple places as we keep going. So hopefully the board found that helpful as a quick review. You could just run down through FERC code, and we've made comments on any of the major changes in each FERC code. But we'll shepherd the board through the budget now, and we'll hit on each FERC code. And we can go ahead and just skip over that part, Robert, because those notes are the same ones that are in the red on the bottom. There's, if you notice, in the lower section there, there's a area with those exact same notes in it. So essentially, this footnote on this one is reduced budget 2021 included one-time updates to the plant maintenance management system and purchase of a facility 3D mapping camera. Video conferencing. So just highlighting that there were some things in the one-time expenditure, so to speak, in the 2021 budget, and those were pulled out. And that's why you're seeing a significant reduction in the year-over-year budget for FERC code 535. And moving on to the next one. And just jump in there if you see anything or you have any questions. I'll just run through these real quick and at least give people an opportunity to comment or ask questions. So on 537, total hydraulic expense, the 2022 budget is for two surveys, which we typically do. Last year we had so much snow. If you recall, the actual survey markers were almost completely buried in some areas. So we may have something similar this year, but typical with our budgeting that we actually will put two in on a typical year. So no big changes there. Under FERC code 538, we've got a DC ramp test, $35,000 budgeted in 2021. We rolled that over into 2022. That will be performed. That's probably the biggest ticket item there. Moving on, this would be 539, and barges, flights, fuel, oils for machinery, rolling stock, maintenance, safety, telecom, and training. So quite a bit bundled into this. So they reduced the budget, lower comms expense, and I'll save quite a bit. You know, the efforts over the years, especially over the last couple of years, I've always wanted to get out of you know, this huge contractual obligation for cost up on Burnett Peak, and we've finally been able to get past that. And Robert did a great job finding a long-term solution there that have helped lower costs there significantly. And you know, our flights lower, especially on the Swan Lake end, we found that. I think the insurance requirements here for the flights, especially out of Ketchikan, have gotten tougher, and they have some, I'll say, stricter ceiling requirements now. So if there's even a hint at a particular ceiling minimum during the day, they're often calling all the flights for the day and sending their folks home. We've experienced that quite a bit down here on the Ketchikan end anyway. So consequently, we've been taking the boat quite a bit more. And so it's just some technical training and rollover into 2022. So for field folks. Moving on to 540. This is rents connected with hydro generation, including amounts payable to the U.S. agency. So, you know, land use fee types things. And 2021 included a budget. I had carried some money in there on a budget. I was anticipating we may have some additional fees associated with our rights of ways after we went out and stuck all these monuments in. And if you guys remember, we had to go back and resurvey some of the and wrap up some of the STI issues. And that never transpired. So we've gone ahead and taken that out of the budget, but that's really the big, only big change in there. With the exception of a few moderate increases, of course. As you know, the FERC requirements never go down. They always go up, and they get more expensive as time goes on, and land use fees. Moving on to 5.4.1, maintenance of hydropower station, including infrastructure, supplies, tools, and professional services. In 2022 includes a CO2 fire protection cylinder certification at Swan Lake, and 2021 expenditures included a one-time fire system lockout equipment. So pretty close, a little bit over last year, but nothing big and major there. 5.4.3, dams, reservoirs, and waterways, maintenance of dams and waterways, including gatehouse. And one larger item here, debris removal. And I believe, as Ed has talked about in the past, and has been communicated to the board, you know, we opted not to clear around the perimeter of the lake because the economy of trying to attempt to do that prior to the dam raise, it was very, very expensive. And so we knew over the first, 5-10 years, especially if the water is maintained up at close to its maximum level, that first 10-15 feet in the lake, the trees that are in that are eventually going to slough off and go into the lake. So this was always anticipated, and we've worked it into the budget with some additional debris removal, and anticipate that quite a bit over the next probably 10 years. Any questions so far? Everybody good?
Okay. Everybody good.
All right. Going too fast, too slow? Okay.
All right. You're doing good.
Okay. 5.4.4, electric plant wages, benefits, facility operators, payrolls, and benefits. So the budget is based upon the current wage scale in the collective bargaining agreement in effect through June 2022 to be renegotiated. So as folks probably remember, you know, that will be up for renegotiation. And if we didn't want to be presumptive on anything in here, so we'll go through those negotiations, and wherever they come back, we'll come back and discuss with the board when we go through that process. And 4.5 FTEs at each plant, that the 0.5 at each plant that covers the rover that goes between those two facilities. And there's just some administrative stuff that has to do with cash out of PTOs in that type of anticipated changes. In 2021, overage was due to covering some vacancies. Five, non-production plant maintenance. Plant maintenance other than hydropower station, housing, grounds, domestic water systems, other structures in town and warehouse. Budget includes one-time expense for non-capital furnishings, beds, couches, and such for the bunkhouse, which is a proposed all-in-all. Other than that, minor changes. Five, six, one, control system maintenance, system control, Swan Tie, intertie control systems, sticks, and supervisory control and data acquisition, also known as SCADA. And not much of an change there, some minor increases in software costs and purchase of some critical spares, which we've talked about quite a bit as one of our priorities. And I anticipate over the next couple of years, we're going to put a little stronger effort in identifying critical spares and trying to get those on the shelves so we can extend the life of the existing equipment that we have.
So, Trey, if I may.
Sure.
So I see that we have SCADA maintenance support, $30,000 a year for each facility. If we is this a single SCADA system that should... Why do we have to pay for it for both facilities, not just for SEPA as a whole?
So we usually cost things out per location.
So it's $60,000 a year?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. So 30, half of that would be dedicated to one facility and half to the other facility. And we'll charge it appropriately. We just like to keep those costs that are associated with a specific site separated so we can track that.
So this is maintenance and support. What do they do for us under maintenance support? Is it
so for instance, we have a screen. Let's just say a screen that's malfunctioning, that or maybe we want to add a indication on or something. We have a task order created that we can contact an entity to do that, and they would make that change, and that's how that would be. So it's support for things that crop up during the year that, to do with our control system.
Yeah, it just seemed a little high to me for what, maybe how much we use, but I don't know.
Well, if you have to have them come up and do anything, you know, that's one visit these
yeah.
days, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, and sometimes we'll use a lot and sometimes we'll use less. We often have SCADA support come to the sites, you know, maybe once a year to work on other, say, R&R projects, and we'll try to bundle those together so we can save some transportation costs. And, but there's just those times you got an issue and you need to work through it and troubleshoot it over the phone and the like.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just a quick follow-up from that when we're going through these. Trey, the column that we have here on the FY21 budgeted, this was our last year's budget for 64,000. This would be analogous to the 73,400. But this is the forecasted, the 37,600 is forecasted what we will actually expend for 2021, correct?
That's correct. That's yeah. our year-end forecast. And, you know, so some years we'll use all of that support, and other years we'll use less.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to 562, substation expense maintenance of substations and switchyards. 2021 budget for a contractor included $50,000 for breaker testing at Petersburg, Tyee, and Wrangell, as well as fire door replacement at Petersburg, and 2021 overage due to troubleshooting contractor and increased travel expense. So for the most part, there were a couple of larger items, specifically the breaker testing, and that was, it's done every few years. So we peeled that out of this year's budget. Five, six, four, transmission submarine cable expense, maintenance of submarine cables, including employee travel. And this is a pretty small item. This is just for our general interval maintenance out in the field. Obviously, the larger expenses that we had over the last year fall into a capital project. So not much to report there. All right, this is one of our larger ones. And I will say the numbers in here are typically driven by our line contract. So for 571, transmission overhead lines, all expenses related to maintenance of overhead transmission lines, including payroll, supplies, travel, and contracted services. EPC, our overhead line maintenance contractor, includes a 2% IBEW contract increase, expanded right-of-way clearing in conjunction with newly adopted vegetation management plan, and the 2021 included $13,000 for potential transformer install that transitioned to an R&R. So those were the bigger ticket items. And I think the most notable item here is that we are increasing our vegetation removal. And as planned per our vegetation management plan, it's reflected right here in the budget. And, you know, it's a good example, you know, of the recent outage, you know, and the outages that we have had, you know, they're due to trees, right? And it's consistent with what I was talking about in the vegetation management plan. It's one of the largest and most common sources of outages that systems experience. So it's money well spent, and it's one of those things you want to stay up with and not get behind on. So it's a good proactive thing. All right, FERC, FERC 920, administrative wages and benefits, wages and benefits of all administrative staff. The wages adjustments and were to be discussed, increase is not currently reflected in this budget. And I won't, the last raise was in July 2019, 2.5 years ago. And we budgeted for 8.2 FTEs. So that includes 7 full-time and a 0.67 FTE for the SCADA architect and actually the control systems engineer. We've rephrased that now. And it's only 0.67 because I just look at the beginning of the year is going to roll around. Hiring will start picking back up and the reality of getting somebody on within the first couple of months is pretty slim. So that's why we've shaved that back a little bit in this particular budget. We've also included a part-time administrative person. Over a half FTE for some office support here to take care of some documents management to help clean out our document storage room and get things a little bit more organized and prepared and also take care of some of our document retention, eliminating some of our documents that are due for disposal. Takes quite a bit to go through that. You got to go through each document and stuff. So we talked about how we're short staffed and I was talking to the administrative staff and seeing what we could do to help supplement that a little bit, at least to take some of that burden off. So that's in this year's budget as well. And employee benefits are based on wages as of November 15, 2021, except 3% contribution to the deferred 457B plan. 2021 actuals are below budget due to the vacancy factor because we did not hire our control system engineer. And so on this particular item, I would like to recommend that the board amend the total amounts of 920 and increase it by 5% to address staff wage adjustments for progression through their wage structure and also address inflation and cost of living.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This time I'd like to move to modify or adjust FERC count 920 in the amount of 5% increase to accommodate for cost of living and other cost in this account.
Do I have a second?
Second, Prasanka.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Jeremy. So the recommendation is to increase it by 5%, the total amount. Is there anybody that wishes to speak to the motion? Hearing, seeing none. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
I will. Lynn? Mr. Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you. Prasanka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
And Skillings?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
Okay, next item. FERC code 921, office expenses for meetings, hardware, copiers, telecom, internet, software, website, and vehicles at both offices and the apartment. 2022 has lower budget for communications. One-time expenses include cybersecurity audit, routing of fiber communications in Petersburg and Wrangell, and implementation of HR module. 2021 included one-time expense for vehicle maintenance. So not a big change there. I think fairly consistent.
So you think our next vehicle is going to be an electric vehicle?
Well, if we can get some infrastructure to support it, that would be great. I think it's worthy of consideration. Certainly, I think the market is headed that direction. And I think it'd be a reasonable thing to do. Plus, I hear we get cheap power, so.
Thank you.
Fuel for oil.
All right. So moving on to FERC 923, professional services. This is contracted professional services. And, you know, we do a variety, of, you know, it includes your legal and legislative. And we also have a hydrology study in here as well. But the overall budget's been reduced. And we also carried over the hydrology study. And we have not completed that yet. FY 2021 depended upon specific hydrology conditions. Oh, yeah. So sorry, that was a little carry on to the hydrology study. We need very specific conditions in order to perform the study. So that's why we carried it over. And then we have the transient stability study that started in 2021. And that's going to carry over as well. And then in 2021, obviously, we had the four-hour plan review as well.
So under, is this where, is Joel under contract services or under professional services under the legal issue?
He is under 923, about halfway down the page there.
Yep. Okay.
Under legal,
okay.
General counsel.
So do we usually have an increase in that when we go through relicensing?
Well, we haven't gone through relicensing yet.
I know, not yet.
And, so... I think when I review general counsel's budget, you know, I kind of look and see certainly what we did year over year. And then I look and see if there's any hot button issues that we need potentially more support on. And so right now I'm pretty comfortable with where we're at in the number. In case something big comes up and we require more support on something, then I'd circle back to the board and ask for an adjustment.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Hey, who do we use in Juneau for our lobbyists?
Sorry, Doug, I didn't quite. Could you repeat that, Doug?
Where's our lobbyist?
Ray Matuszewski is our lobbyist, and he's also the lobbyist for, I think, most of the munis as well. And he's based out of Juneau. He also has a home here in Ketchikan.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. And, you know, and I use Ray quite a bit. And the nice thing is that, you know, sometimes I'll find things and then I'll use him to make those internal connections that are valuable that help get some of these things across the line and then to kind of bird dog them once we get them up queued up. So definitely there's some high value there and there's a special high value with the money that's going to be floating around with the infrastructure bill. So I think that's certainly money well spent. And I will add just at this point for folks that may not be familiar with past efforts is that we don't have a federal lobbyist. And so we do spend a little extra money to be part of National Hydroelectric Association, which has, you know, a team of lobbyists for the most part. And so we get pretty high value by that association there. And when we do have specific issues, like when I was trying to get a law passed for the land exchange at Swan Lake, which we were successful at, it took me 5 years or 6 years to do it, but it was a slow process. But we did hire a local attorney out of there that was served as a lobbyist in DC. So when there are specific issues that we're pursuing on the federal level and we need support, then we would typically capture that under a legal service. So anyway, reduced budget, hydrology study. I think we've We've hit all those important points in there. So any questions in the sharing? Okay. $928 Regulatory Commission, fees and expenses assessed by regulatory bodies. One of my least favorite areas, but not a lot going on there. We've reduced the budget actually in 2022 carryover of the bathymetric study requires specific spill conditions. And 2021 included a one-time settlement survey upgrades at Swan Lake, which were a bit expensive. So no big surprises there. $930 general expense, general administrative not specified elsewhere, advertising, employee travel, training, public relations, associations. Budget includes increase to recruitment. I mentioned that earlier. We've increased that up to $60,000. Maybe we might need some incentive bonuses. We may have to hire a recruiter if we're going to get aggressive and try to fill, especially our vacant position. On the admin side, and public relations increase as the Southeast Conference will be held in Ketchikan, and SEPA is the host utility for the annual Alaska Power Association meeting as well. So we'll put out a little extra effort there, and clearly I've been wanting to increase our exposure and outreach in our member communities. Of course, COVID's made that quite difficult. About every time we get ready to travel, everything gets kiboshed. But I'm hoping that's going to open up over the next year, and we'll be able to bolster those relationships. So, we just have one little small item here at the end there, the administrative rent for our office space set here at the White Cliff and the apartment as well. And, I will say the apartment is very important at this time. It's come in extremely helpful when I've been recruiting, and it gives me the freedom to offer it up as a I'll say a little bit of a carrot to help as people are transitioning to our area. As you know, housing is very difficult to get a hold of, and the ability to offer them a couple of months so they can get their feet on the ground and secure some more firm housing. That's been very good. And of course, we use that for Clay. If he comes down here to the office, once a month or once every couple of months, he'll stay there as well. So I think that's a good investment. So that brings us up to our totals for the budget, and happy to answer any questions folks might have on any of these areas. Or
so, does anybody have any questions in regards to the presentation and budget?
Pretty straightforward.
So, Sharon. We have the motion, but it's been amended, and it was an added 5% to the 920. How do we want to reflect that? Do we want to pass the budget as amended?
Yes, pass the budget as, you have to take a vote on the budget as amended to wrap that up. And the only change we had was that one code. So that's all we have to do.
We do still have the non-operating and all the R&Rs. It's all part of this same motion. So we'll want to go through everything before we come back to this.
Okay, so we got the R&R and the other stuff. All right.
Yeah. At this time, we just have that one motion hanging out there. That's it.
So. Okay.
So, Robert, do you want to roll back to
the R&R,
there we go. So this is always.
You might want to back up to the non-operating budget.
Let me open my budget book here real quick.
Right there. There you go.
There it is.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Kay. Point that out. So it's the non-operating income. It's pretty straightforward. You know, grant income, interest income, investment fund earnings, which we actually talked to our provider there, consultant, and we're hoping to start seeing a little bit more earnings on our money. And as interest rates creep up, we'll be adjusting the budget over the next couple of years, hopefully. And non-operating expense, liability, reserves, feasibility, and investments. That just is an outline of our debt service and principal and interest payments. And we also have long-term liabilities where we pay a payment on the unfunded liability for Wrangell. And the DNR reclamation, we talked about for our plan, and the reclamation that was the fifth R in that plan, and that's handled in this area. I will say this particular issue, I've updated the board on it many times. We are completely ready to sign off on an independent program that's disconnected from the other parties, Copper Valley and Kodiak Electric. And the only thing holding it up right now is Copper Valley and Kodiak have not been able to come to an agreement with their representatives within DNR that are based out of the Anchorage office, and we're working through the Juneau office. So that'll get done when it gets done, but we're queued up, ready to go. I've taken that as far as I can get it, and actually I met with Copper Valley CEO a couple of weeks ago. And had that discussion again. And so that'll get done when it gets done. And typical inventory, spares, and feasibility, minor stuff, some grant stuff, finalized definition documents and marine hydrokinetics, and contributions to reserves. This is where the R&R contribution, annual levelized payment, appears. Transfer from revenue fund to that fund. And we'll see how cash flows are and make a decision if we need to keep contributing that quarterly in order to maintain reserves for cash flows, or if we just make a single payment. But $3 million will be distributed over to or transferred over to the dedicated R&R fund.
Question for Trey through the chair.
2022.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Trey, earlier we were talking about the insurance money and that there was an indication that would be placed into one of the funds. Can you remind us what our intention was to do with the insurance settlement?
Sure. And we should come across the fund flow chart here at some point. Or did, if I missed that, Kay, earlier?
It was a separate document. It's not in this.
It's not in the budget packet? Okay.
No, it was sent out at the same time, but.
I got you. So everybody should have received a copy of the fund flow chart. In short, it shows that if you go under like the fourth or fifth column over under the self-insured risk, right there, and then go down a little bit, Robert, about three lines and over to the right one more. There you go. There's the $5 million right there from the submarine cable proceeds. It shows it going into the self-insured risk fund. And for people that, just a little quick familiarization of what we're showing on the screen right now. This is at the very top, as of what we're forecasting for 12/31/21 are the estimated balances for every fund. And then it shows how we anticipate the funds are going to flow throughout the year, and then it gives a projection where we'll be at the end of 2022. Okay.
Roger. Thank you very much. I just wanted to, I knew that that's where we were going to end up putting that money in. I just wanted to, we didn't make sure that we didn't have to do any kind of a change or an amendment to ensure that it's in our budget. So,
great.
Thank you very much.
So total non-operational costs and reserve contributions, FY 2022, $5,575,543, and a non-operational net gain loss after contributions to reserves. Okay, next page, Robert. And this gives a brief explanation on each one of those categories that we rolled through. So I unless the board wants me to, I'll assume most of you folks have had an opportunity to read that. Discusses our bonds and stuff like that. All right, and here's a debt schedule for the board so they can kind of see how our debt's laid out. As you can see, I've tried to layer the debt over the years so we can have a relatively consistent debt service. And you'll see, especially in like 2034, if you go over to the total combined debt service, you see right there, see how that's nicely timed with our anticipated increase in total in our 4R plan. Remember, we talked a lot about the 2034 period. So I've made room in that space right there to allow us to take on additional debt for some of those larger projects if necessary. Okay. And we've talked about the DNR Reclamation Contingency Fund and PERS. This is an extension of the additional items that were on that previous sheet. Inventory, new generation integration, DCCD grant. So nothing new in those areas. R&R contributions, we just got through talking about that, making the $3 million recommended fund to that. And of course, we still have the rate stabilization fund with an initial deposit to $2 million. And we have some minor earnings in there. And you know that's made for those times when we might take a really big hit and hopefully prevent rate shock from something that occurs. For instance, say we lost a submarine cable feeding the whole north end, our revenues would be cut in half overnight. And this would be a good example that could be used to bridge that gap from a revenue perspective and make sure that we didn't have to totally crank up rates and shock customers. Okay, so that brings us on to the R&R budget, and hopefully everybody's doing good. I appreciate everybody hanging in there. I know it's been a long meeting, and I appreciate your patience. So we'll run through these fairly quick, because I know most people are familiar, at least with the first section there, their current R&R projects. We won't linger on those too long. And just got to couch this a little bit. We include FY 22, 23, and 24. And the reason why we do the 23, 24 is it's pretty natural that most projects span 2 to 3 years by the time you do engineering design, parts procurement, and then schedule construction, installation, what have you. Within the very narrow window sometimes we have with our annual outages. So Cleveland helipads, everybody's should be very familiar with this. And we've actually combined this project. We put it out and we weren't happy with the results that we had. And I think we have the ability to bundle what we had a two-phase project at one time, and we're going to bundle that together and put it in a bigger package. I think at the end of the day, we'll get a better bid for the project. Important project. So there's a perfect example of the old wooden structures, and frankly, they weren't designed for the type of snow loads that we get, or else they just just decayed over the years, and they're wooden. The new ones are have a metal infrastructure and fiberglass panels on top, so they'll last a very, very long time. And as you can see, these are a necessary element to our business. We have some very remote places that you got to fly into, and there's just really no place to land. All you can see right on that picture right there, that's a pretty hairy place to come into in a helicopter, and it allows us to access those to do inspections and certainly make emergency repairs as needed. Next project. So this particular one is the SEPA, proposed SEPA headquarters building, and we're looking to put this out for an RFP, and we've got that prepared. And once we have those numbers, then we'll come back to the board. And that's why we have it to be determined there, because we don't have a good sense of where the market's at right now. And we're going to have to bid that to find that out. So. I think the board's fairly familiar with basic construction and layout of the building. And I just like to remind folks that, it might be a somewhat large investment, but over time, if you take into consideration that the organization's going to be here for many decades, I anticipate, rather than paying rent that whole time, you could be paying for an asset, and then after a certain period of time, you don't have to pay rent anymore. And so sometimes on these longer term projects like this, you have to have the a long-term perspective and view. It's an investment that'll pay some dividends in the long run. And it certainly helps centralize much of our activity from board meetings to staging a warehouse and stuff. Right now, when we get things delivered on barges and stuff, we don't really have a place to stage anything. We don't have anywhere out of the weather to do that. And of course, consolidating our offices and having a little bit more space to do some of those core functions that we do, and also centralize our communications in a secure location as well. And of course, this building will also have a generator backup system. So if the power goes out, we're still able to handle all of our operations. Next project. Swan Tie Control System Modernization. This is a little continuation here. And Robert, if you want to jump in, you say a few words about this one.
Yeah, sure. This has been an ongoing project. It is probably going on year three now. But we built the mesh network, increased security there, and we're able to remove the Burnett Peak communication there. We're just about done with the fiber build out in Petersburg and Wrangell. We got the fiber build out part done. We just need to do the routing, and once that's complete, then this project can actually go to completion. So we're just at this point, we've got all the comms nearly 100%, and we've got all the communication between Swan, Tai, Petersburg, Wrangell, and the SEPA office pretty much 100%. So one last year and we'll wrap this thing up. And when this project's complete, we've already gotten quite a bit done. We've got the sticks done. And if you join sometime, you want to join the Tuesday call, you can see how well that turned out. Real good control of the units, but final year, take it across the finish line.
Thanks, Robert. So next project, everybody's very familiar with this one. I won't spend any time on it. We're just about getting close to having this wrapped up. It's taken a few years to coincide with our pole climbing activities to keep costs down. But I think from a reliability perspective, especially long-term, it was a good project. That brings us on to the partial discharge monitors. And I'll talk about this one too, if Robert, if you'd like. I mean, we've installed these at multiple plants that I've worked at, and they are the cat's meow for monitoring.
Yeah, it's important because as we get closer to the end of life, and we went through that exercise with the 4-hour plan, we want to plan our outages to do our rewinds and not be forced to do them, which is the worst case scenario. So these partial discharge monitors will give us an idea of how many years we have left and how close, what's the appropriate time to do the rewind. We got the equipment. We just can't get the install. This COVID kind of kicked our butts, and especially with the Canada-US relationship and the COVID travels, we just couldn't get the Iris Power contractor that we bought the equipment from to mobilize to Alaska. So we're going to give 2022 a shot. Luckily, we have years ahead. This is one of those preventative maintenance, predictive type maintenance items. So we've got time, and hopefully 2022 is the year.
Definitely. That's the stationary winch project. Ed's talked about this before. This is for to help with our debris removal at Swan Lake. Probably doesn't need any more explanation than that. And we've got the bunkhouse project. And that's overdue, as you can see, but from some of the pictures, and look forward to getting this done and cleaning up, not only removing and cleaning up some of the old failed structures and installing new, but it will actually reduce our maintenance at the facility as well for the long term. So it's a kind of a multifaceted positive deal there. Okay, this is just a quick one. I believe Ed's talked about this before. It's just to upgrade the one unit that we didn't have the build out on the new unit for Flex at Swan Lake. And circuit switcher in Wrangell, you want to speak to that, Robert?
Yeah, sure. It failed. This is one of those premature failure items. Obviously, we have a lot of other circuit switchers that are supposed to go 10, 15 years, but this is a premature failure. So we're replacing it. And we actually got the drawings in yesterday and should be approving the final procurement of it next week. So we'll get this. It's a long lead time on it. It takes forever to get here. So we started it. We did that special board meeting and got approval to sole source this contract to Southern States for procurement. And that is about to be done. Drawings are about to be approved, and we'll have that thing starting to get built.
Excellent. You can take the next one too, right?
15 kV switchgear. This is a similar project we did at Swan Lake in 2017. The switchgear at Tai is starting to get, it's going on 40 years. Obviously, a lot of our infrastructure is, but this isn't one that we can push out or extend the life on. There is a possibility to do retros, but those always add a lot of risk. And so this project would be replacing the 15 kV switchgear, which is the main protection for the main unit generators at Tai. So it's super important. We've had small minor failures here and there. Contacts failed, PT contacts failed. So we've lost some things and tripped the unit at least one time. So it's definitely time to be proactive and replace this gear to get it in line for another 30 years.
Yeah, so I'll just note with that one project Robert was just talking about, we segued into the new proposed projects for this year. The other ones were carryovers. So the next item, after this is a resurface of the airstrip, and pretty good write-up on there that Clay did with regard to putting a lift on the airstrip out there. It's a critical infrastructure for getting in and out of that facility, and we want to make sure that we maintain it in a safe way to get aircraft in. And over time, that larger rocks kind of sift up from the bottom, and the milk on top, if you will, gets pushed off to the side. We've reworked it several times, and it's time to put a lift on it to extend the life of it. And there's an option within there, the bid, that they can use from a borrow pit, crush it there on site, or they can just bring in aggregate and acceptable aggregate and do it that way too. So we'll put that out for bid. We'll speak to that next one, Robert.
This project's mainly just labor. We have enunciators at Swan Lake, and they're amazing enunciators. We're just not using them. We're using our programmable logic controllers, which don't actually tell you what happened first, the chicken or the egg in this case. If you have an issue, we need to know what caused it, because typically you have one issue, you have 10. These that are already installed can do that. They just need to be wired up. So for the most part, this is engineering and labor. You see minor parts like wiring and stuff, but this would give us an opportunity anytime we have an outage to identify it real quick and to be able to define any of the nuisance tripping that we've had. We've had these in the past where we don't know what caused it. And so you go and you look and you try and figure it out, and then it does it again. We had it one time where it was a MLDT at Swan Lake that it was intermittent, so nobody knew it was failing. Had we had this hooked up, we would have known. That's this project.
Great. Any questions yet? Everybody okay? All right, just checking, make sure everybody's hanging in there. All right, next item, emergency diesel generator. Speak to that one too, Robert.
The EDGs at Swan Lake, they don't have that many hours on, but they are pretty much wore out on in terms of the electronics and the exciter and the governors. So this project is to replace the exciters and the governors on these diesel generators. What that will also effectively do is give us the ability to control these generators from a load perspective. Right now, they're completely isochronous. And with the station service project, we have the ability now to actually synchronize these onto the grid. And with this project, we'll actually be able to load them and control them while they're synchronized on the grid. So it's kind of a twofold project. Not only are we extending the life on these units, and bringing them to modern day operational states, we're also adding ability to synchronize, which is super important for us. There's a lot of reasons why that's important.
Thank you. Next item is a fire service panel upgrade for Swan Lake. And what this will do is equipment's becoming obsolete, and it'll standardize our equipment from across Tyee and Swan Lake and allow us to have commonality in parts and such. And certainly any of these life safety type items, we want to make sure that they're well supported and can continue operation without interruption. Next item is a bunkhouse and crew quarters roof and siding rehab at Tyee. I'll say this is kind of phase two. We did part of it here a few years back, and obviously there's some areas here that need some attention. And if we catch them early, then hopefully we don't have any damage to the underlayment and fascias and stuff. So pretty much a continuation of what we did back in 2017. Inlet valve control system. Hey, Ed, do you want to talk for a little while?
Love to.
All right.
So this project, this is one of the last operating systems left from the original commissioning of the plant in 83. And we've had numerous issues with failure to start because of this system. It's an analog system that uses a lot of timers and ice cube relays. We're going to take all that out and put a PLC in control with the PLC. Also uses a lot of mechanical cams and switches for permissives and position indication on the inlet valve. This is tied into the spiral case, which is where the wicket gates live for control and speed of the units. And this is also your emergency shutdown in an event of a failure of your governor. So this will bring it to a modern specs. Pretty straightforward. Just take all the old stuff out, put a PLC in it, take the mechanical switches out and put magnetic switches in, take the place of those. So.
Through the chair. Through the chair, question for Trey. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was going to ask Trey if we could spend a little bit of time on an item that's upcoming here in just a couple slides, the station service at Tyee. It's a large funding item, and I was hoping that we could, if it was possible, we could skip to that and have some time to have a discussion about it.
Sure. Yeah, well,
no objection of the board.
Okay. What's the will of the chair there, Bob?
I think we're fine. Let's continue to run through them. We can have some discussions on it when we get there.
Okay. So, Ed, why don't you keep going and speak to the next item on the intake gate refurbishment. We know how much fun you had at Tyee.
Yeah, well, this one's going to be quite a bit simpler. This is just going in and replacing the stem couplers. We pull this gate annually, and over the process of pulling that gate apart for 40 years, 37, 38 years now, so it's been apart 38 times, the coupler have become worn, and failure of this would be a possible failure of your power tunnel. So we're gonna go in there and put new manufactured couplers in between the stems. The stems are, you remember from the Tyee project, the stems are what connects the hydraulic cylinder control to the gate. So the gate lives 175 feet below water, and these 20-foot stems interconnect this to the hydraulic system.
Great. And why don't you just keep going there, Ed? You're on a roll here.
Well, I got another one.
Go to debris storage site.
Okay, this is where the you seen earlier, there was a R&R for a stationary winch. That stationary winch is going to live on one of the areas that is somewhat level along the shore of the lake. And we're going to have a crew go in and develop that site for that winch to live on. And that's where we'll pull the debris out of the water bucket and burn it.
You can roll down there, Robert. I think there's a map there that shows where that's happening. There you go.
So that's actually right where the old lake used to spill. So there's somewhat of a level area right there to accommodate storage logs.
Okay. And you can... I guess we've got a little bit. That's good. Okay.
This is a standby generator for the headquarters. That's pretty self-explanatory. It's not part of the build out of the project because I wanted to do a trailer mounted and not have it permanently mounted so that if we need assistance out on line repair or something for power, we can just grab it and tow it out there and utilize it so it's not just sitting around being used a couple times a year. We have a useful tool.
All right. Well, that takes us to Jeremy's item there.
Well, I did have a question about that, Mr. Trey, about the portable generator for the headquarters there. So I'm assuming that we really want to be able to have that there because once we move to that new facility, we're going to have all of our critical SCADA applications there, so on and so forth. So if we've got something going on in the field where we go pull this out into the field, what is our contingency plan for a backup generator at the headquarters?
So I think the primary intent of this is to have it at the headquarters building to be backup power for the headquarters building rather than building it in to the system and have it portable. That's the primary use.
Thank you.
Right now, Jeremy, I have all my SCADA and communications all on battery backups. That'll continue. So effectively, we could still dispatch and operate, but none of the employees could really do any work. So if it's a long extended outage, then it kind of shuts down the operation. So that's the intent of this. It's to bridge the gap for long extended outages, especially being an organization as SEPA is, that's kind of important to get the power back on. So
we don't have those in Ketchikan.
We don't have outages in Ketchikan?
Long extended outages in Ketchikan.
All right, that rolls us into station service switchgear at Tyee Lake. Robert, you want to lead that off?
Sure. As Jeremy mentioned, this is a pretty big project escalation. We know good numbers on this project because we just, like I mentioned, we did it at Tyee. It was 1.7 million plus overhead. And that was done this year. This project is planned to be a 3-year project. And that's kind of how Swan Lake went as well. We do engineering, procurement, and then we do installation. So it kind of explains, it speaks for itself, really. It's the same reasoning we're doing it at Tyee as what we did at Swan. The gear is antiquated, 40 years old. This one actually has Swan, or Tyee has an actual unique element to their switchgear as well, whereas they've got an extreme danger energy level on the secondary of their station service transformer. So that this project would alleviate that safety aspect. As of right now, there is no operating or no maintenance performed without a dead bus. So they have to take an outage to work on it. And that will be definitely resolved after this project is complete. Double-ended switchgear, very similar to Swan Lake. Integration of the diesel generator to automatically start and stop. Right now, if the system goes dark and Tyee goes dark, they have to go manually start their diesel generator in the dark, mumble around and stuff. So they'll have that same functionality that Swan has, where they'll automatically switch over to their diesel generator. The lights will come back on and they can go figure out why we're down.
So through the chair, my question with regard to this particular item is it looks like the bulk of our contract on this would be an award in 23. Is there any consideration of trying to pull this out for an RFP sooner and do some kind of award in 22? Or are we just going to, are you planning on wanting to wait?
I anticipate the design taking all of 22. It's similar that it happened, and it's going to take me probably 2 months to just put the package together. These packages are, for Swan Lake, it was like 500 pages in specifications. So it takes me a minute to do that. And then I send it out for design with our specifications and our preliminary design for them to go in. Hey, they end up doing the point to point wiring, you know, every single wire. So they get gather a team of eight engineers or whatever and start doing the civil and the structural and finalizing the electrical. So I do anticipate that taking all of 2022. although I don't know for sure whether or not it depends on the procurement and long lead time item for this particular switchgear. We may or may not be able to get the procurement done in 2023. So that may very well move to 24. That's going to all depend on when we do get the design out and we get bids, how long is it going to take to get the equipment? Some of these things are 18 months out. So that's really going to be, that might change, but right now our best guess estimate is that layout for budget expenditures.
Thank you.
So Trey, I think that if you could, to expedite this, if you could read the titles and see if there's any questions that we can probably dispense with some of the explanations that being the hour that we're moving into here.
Yeah, we're almost done too. So no problem there. So we've got everybody good with that one, I'm presuming. So we've got substation refurbishment at Petersburg. Pretty straightforward there. Any questions there? Okay. Then we have vibration monitoring equipment at Swan Lake. Pretty simple there. And then we have the Wrangell warehouse and office. And we have that in here so we can capitalize the cost. Any questions? And that brings us to the back, and there's the fun flow chart, at least in my packet at the end of that. So, all right, I think that covers everything under the motion, I believe.
So to clarify on the motion, we had an amendment to add 5% to the $1,856,000, which is $92,800, which brings the total to $1,948,800. Oh, did I lose you?
Over here.
Okay, I just lost your picture. All right, so the amendment changes that total. I just wanted to make that note. Yeah, any questions about the budget before we call the roll on the motion? Hearing, seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
I will. Bynum?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Skillings?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Thank you.
So this brings us to item I, consideration and approval of the wholesale power rate. And I believe that there's something on what, page
104.
I have a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to approve setting SEPA's wholesale power rate at 7.05 cents per kilowatt hour for January 1, 2022 through December 31, 2022.
Do I have a second?
Second, Prasanka.
Thank you, Steve. So it's been moved and seconded. This is something that we've talked about to some length. And of course, this budget was predicated on passing this particular rate to pay for it. So I think we're pretty proud of the fact that we've kept it at 6.8 cents for so many years, but I think that that's creeping up on us to a point where we will start to fall behind and ask for bigger rate raises if we don't start with little nibbles now. So does anybody have any comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just wanted to say thank you to Trey and his staff on this particular item for giving a significant lead time so that the member utilities had the appropriate time to program this into their rates. So thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Hearing and seeing none other, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Billings?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Severson.
Yes. Bring us to item J, the consideration and approval of the Sagerty assignment of sole source contract. This was a lay on the table item that was amended the agenda to the agenda. So if there's needing any elaborations, I think that Trey or Robert can do that. But we do have a motion. Do I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move to authorize SEPA staff to enter into a consent to assignment of contract as presented at the December 10th, 2021 board meeting to assign Sagerty LLC's sole source contract to Basler Services LLC for completion of the programming / engineering testing and commissioning services for SEPA's STSC HMI Historian Modernization Project, RR1331.
Second, Bynum.
Thank you. What I understand is Sagerty was bought out, but the employees moved over, so they still have the history and knowledge of the system. So this is, and they're going to honor the rates that were in the original contract. So is that pretty much correct, Trey?
Yes, that's correct. And it's a continuation to wrap the project up. So same people working on it, just a different company name. It's more of an administrative fix here, if you will.
All right, so thank you. Is there anybody else that had any questions? Hearing, seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Severson?
Yes.
Skillings?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Item.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ooh. So
that was a marathon.
Yeah. So item 9 is the next meeting dates, and we have February 28th, and that's from 1 to 5. At that time, we will be swearing in new officers, if I understand. It's only a half a day meeting.
It'll carry over onto the first, Bob, on March 1st.
Okay, yeah, all right. And that will be in Wrangell if COVID allows.
Yeah.
If not, we will continue on with the virtual meetings. And there are the other dates noted there in regards to what our meetings are. So at this point, I think we'll just go around for director comments. Cliff, what do you got?
No, long meeting, that's for sure. But there's definitely worthy. It was we did a lot of staff put a lot together for us to look over planning for next year. Definitely lots of accomplishments this year. Kudos to Trey for your leadership and how well staff's done. Robert always amazed me with making each little drop of rain count. But if we do lose power here or your new location's out, we can always hook small hydros to these culverts above us because they get kind of out of water.
I'm on.
So, anyways, good to see you all again. I wish it was in person. 2 years have been a long time to see any of you. So, you know, I hope you all do well. I hope you're all well and your families also, and have a Merry Christmas, every one of you.
Thanks.
Doug, what do you have?
Well, yes, long meeting, but covered a lot of ground, and I think progress made will put some good step for moving into next year. So with that, I'm going to wish everybody a happy holiday season and talk to you next quarter.
All right. Thank you. Carl.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I wanted to congratulate all SEPA staff for a great year this year, particularly the recent efforts during the storm damage, simply outstanding. Love the work on the 4R plan. It's great to have that updated, and looking forward to what we have coming up as an agency. And I'm really happy that the board is supporting the staff and the CEO with some adjustments this next year. And Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a great holiday season.
Jeremy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say this is my last meeting for a while anyway. I have to say it's been a pleasure being on the board for 2 years with most of you, and working with the SEPA staff. You guys have been a pleasure to work with, and I look forward to continuing working with you guys in my other capacity as my day job. So I really appreciate the opportunity to build relationships, even though it was over mostly the Zoom. Bob and Carl there in Petersburg, really unfortunate that COVID didn't give us the opportunity to actually meet in person. And I get opportunity there to meet your beautiful, or see your beautiful community. So hopefully I get an opportunity at some point in the future that we can still have that opportunity to have a professional relationship and meet in person in Petersburg. Also, Mr. Prusanka, it's been a pleasure serving with you on the SEPA board here. I look forward to continue relationship with Wrangell. Again, just sorry I didn't get the opportunity to come there and visit in person. The Joel is not on the call here. He's off flying somewhere, but it's been real educational and a pleasure to work with him as well. I also wanted to make note, Thor was on the call earlier here, and I'm really glad that he's still energetic and wanting to be involved, given his ideas. And I encourage that we have more people like him involved in the board and in our communities. This will be the first time this next board cycle for 2022. I got up and spoke at the city council meeting a couple weeks back and talked a little bit about the good mission that SEPA's performing. But then also wanted to point out that this will be the first time in the modern organization of the reorganization of SEPA that KPU will not have a board member representation here. So I implore the board members that will continue to be here to reach out to the utility here. Let's continue to have expanded conversations. I will work as diligently as I can to keep the new board members informed of what's actually happening at the utility level. Those things that are important for continuing a positive relationship between KPU Electric, Wrangell, Petersburg, and the SEPA staff and the SEPA organization. So I hope that we have continued service from our community with Bob still being, Mr. Chair Severson being on the board. We also have Mr. Andy Donato coming back to join you. So I'm hoping that maybe he'll bring a different perspective to the board as a community member now, and with his pending retirement on the 3rd. It's just been a pleasure. And I know you guys don't have to hear me talk anymore. And Merry Christmas to all you guys. Happy New Year. And look forward to continuing our relationship.
Thank you, Jeremy. Dick.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank Trey and all of the SEPA staff for all their outstanding work again this year. Also, I think that reflects on the board giving good direction for Trey. And it's been a pleasure for, I don't know, I've been on off this board now for about 10 years or so. So I'm off again and probably will not be back. So anyway, thanks to everybody for all the good hard work, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Dick. Bob.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I have to thank the staff for all the work that got done. And I think that one chart that Robert put up showing what the projects they got done and expenditures and the savings, I think was pretty valuable, at least for me, to take a look at how a few people do a whole bunch of work. And I thank you very much for that. Second item is that I want to go back to something Jeremy said. I really appreciate Tor's continued involvement in this, and we both Carl and I really encourage him to continue to join in and make these comments. I think they're valuable. And I think from a younger perspective, particularly somebody with a financial background, it really helps put some things in perspective. It may not change everything immediately, but at least from my perspective, it kind of sets, it's an area that, well, I hadn't thought about it that way, and it does make a difference. Last, thank all the board members who are leaving, and I wish we could have had a chance to get together to at least talk and have a toddy, but we can't, so I'll have a toddy tonight and salute you guys. Last item is that, just for a fun thing, is that this was a horrible meeting today. The problem I had was that my wife's been making cookies, and then I've been sampling them as we've gone on. So I probably don't need any supper. So thank you, folks.
Thank you, Bob. Steve.
Hey, so just to be clear, we weren't supposed to have toddies during the meeting? Is that what Bob just said? Because I'm confused now. Okay, we're not the only one there.
You mean you didn't?
All right, well, I'm going to have another toddy after the meeting, too. All right. Look, thanks, staff. Thanks, Trey. Thanks, everybody. That was a hell of a long meeting, and we do not never need to do that again. I really appreciate everything that everybody has done, and the staff is always great. And to the board members that are still going to be back next year, it will be great to see you guys again next year. To everybody else, thanks very much. This is a commitment, and I really appreciate folks putting in the time to do this. So thanks. That's all I got.
Thank you, Stephen. Trey, do you and your staff want to add anything at this point?
I'll just say that, first of all, thank you to the board for dedicating your time, especially for such a long meeting and throughout the year. And wish those folks that are cycling off the board the best of luck, and hope to see you again in the future. I think we covered an awful lot of ground today. But it was all very important stuff that's much of it foundational for the organization, and certainly charts a path forward as we go. Also just want to take a minute to recognize my staff, because really that's what makes the whole thing tick. And at the same time, I want to take a minute and thank all of our folks that work out in the field. They work out there on their holidays away from their family and spend a lot of time away from home. And that's really the boots on the ground out there. So really appreciate the great effort from the whole team, and SEPA is a team. I'll hand it off to my staff. And before I do that, I just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everybody stays healthy. You and your families and friends, and also Bob, thanks for running a difficult meeting. It was long, and we had to move things around on the agenda to accommodate some schedules and stuff, but we made it through, and excellent job as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead and voice my thanks as well to the SEPA board. Gentlemen, you're all volunteers. You're not getting paid a dime for what you do, but your time is very much appreciated. And we respect all of you for all of your opinions and thoughts and the merits that you bring to the organization. Wish all of you happiest of holidays.
Thank you, Sharon.
We just say ditto.
You can.
I was going to say the same thing. I think Sharon just pretty well summed that all up in a nutshell. And Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say this board has been one of the better boards that I've seen here yet. So I want to say thanks to everybody for being here, because you guys, it seems like you read the packets, you ask the right questions, you understand the organization. Obviously, this is my heart and passion. This is what I do. And I think you guys are now understanding that the importance of this organization and others like it, that even as we move to the future, will get more important through the electrification process and everything that has to come. So, yeah, thank you for board members that are here today. Thank you, especially for those that are here that may not be here next time. And look forward to 2022.
Thank you, Robert.
Be the same. Thanks. to the board for the time commitment you guys put in this. I sit on other boards, and it's it takes time out of your personal life to do this, no matter when you do it. So thank you, and I hope that we get back into the communities to I enjoy going to Petersburg and Wrangell and getting to see and talk to people outside of this community. So and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Ed. Marcy, you got anything?
Oh, I don't have a microphone on my computer, so I just wanted to come in and say Merry Christmas and thank you to everybody. Packages are on their way. If you haven't received them, and the roads are icy.
Yeah, they are. So I'd like to thank.
There's Cliff got his.
I'd like to thank everybody for their time today, but especially for their willingness to serve on a board like this and do the work that we need to do. There, it's not always easy. But one of the things that I've noticed since I've been on this board for a number of years is the amount of trust that we've developed. We trust in our staff, we trust in our other board members, the trust between the communities. I think that we're in a by far better place now than we were 10 years ago. And it's due to the hard work and relationships that we've built over time. So, and I guess I'd be remiss in the fact that, we're going to miss those that are on the board, and we're going to have to welcome and educate those that are coming on. And we'll thoroughly miss Carl's presence in the future. And again, wish everybody Merry Christmas, safe New Year, and looking forward to our next meeting. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So with that, do I have a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Without objection, hearing no objections, we will stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Rob.